We are at 91B, the very end. 91B3. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Reuven Shemachar Sadeh L'Shimon. All right, now we've got names. That's good. Shelo Bachrayas. He sold the land to Shimon, and it had no lien on it. Something like that, right?
Without a guarantee.
Without a guarantee.
Without a guarantee, that probably that it was free from liens would be my guess.
Oh, okay.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, meaning he's not selling any lien away with it. That the lien remains on the field.
Right. In other words,
the fact that he's selling it.
In other words, Shimon is now taking the risk.
He's taking a risk, right? Va'asa Shimon umachara l'Reuven. So Shimon then comes back and sells it to Reuven be'achrayas. How does that work?
Shimon is a sucker. That's how it works.
But what does that mean practically? He sells the field back to him.
But basically,
Shimon says
it's now Reuven coming after Shimon for the mortgage that Reuven himself created. Is where we're headed with.
I mean, according to Rashi, Shimon stated that if the field were rightfully collected from Reuven, Shimon would compensate him. So yeah,
okay, yeah,
he's basically giving him a guarantee on a mortgage that Reuven may have potentially put in place.
It's called a warranty of title.
Okay. Vas v'alchov de Reuven. Then, as you could expect, the story goes, Reuven's debtor comes along. The Qatar Flaminite took it from Shimon.
Reuven's creditor.
Creditor. So Dina who the Azil Shimon of Mefatzele, that the halacha is that Shimon has to go and give the money to Reuven to pay off the debt. Is that what it say?
It's either he's negotiating a deal with the creditor to save the field.
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, if he can't do that, he's going to compensate Reuven for the loss of the field.
Okay. So Amar Leih, so same thing, basically.
Even though it's Reuven's creditor.
Well, that's how, you know, Shimon made this deal himself. So, yeah.
Right, no.
You've signed that contract.
Shimon's a sucker.
Yeah. Got to read the fine print. So Amar Leih Rava, Nihida Achrayas Da'ama Kabilalei, Achrayas Nashimi Kabilalei. Meaning, yeah, okay, fine. In literal law, you know, in terms of the contracts, you're right. Achrayas da'ama kabel, like he accepted upon himself the achrayas to pay for it. But achrayas da'nafshei, anything that's going to come because of his reputation, who's going to?
No,
it's like a turn of phrase. I don't think he's literally saying it, but he's saying basically who's going to take care of Reuven's character or something like that, right?
Well, what it's saying here is, did he accept upon himself a guarantee for claims because of the buyer himself? In other words, he didn't really accept
the exact loan that he had.
Anything that Reuven had encumbered the property with when he was the owner.
I can actually easily see this. You have people who don't know what they're doing, filling out real estate documents. Oh, this one's a deed. This one says quitclaim deed, and this one says warranty deed. I don't know, maybe that's just the color of the paper. And they don't know what they're doing. People do this all the time. They don't know what they're doing, and they...
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the connection is because we had said a similar statement to this yesterday when we finished about the two guys that were dealing with a field that the mother objecting, remember that? And then the guy himself comes to object. The question is whether he's considered like the mother. And Rava says the same thing. Okay, fine.
But this isn't necessarily a apples for apples comparison of that. Because in one, the son sort of changed. He's wearing two different hats.
I mean the first one. Yes.
Yeah. He's the son,
he's
and
pretending,
he's also the estate of the mother.
Right.
Here, Reuven is Reuven and Shimon is Shimon. There's no...
Yeah, no, nothing. Yeah. The characters don't change. The representations don't change. So, Moda Rav Reuven Shiarash Sadem Yaakov Umachar L'Shem Shalom Be'achres. Rava agrees, however, despite the fact that he said that's not okay, he agrees in the case where Reuven inherits the field from Yaakov, then sells it to Shimon without the responsibility to pay off the loans or the lien, he inherited it from Yaakov. He inherited it from Yaakov's father, and then sold it to Shimon without Achrayas. But also Shimon Mechar Reuben b'Achrayas, then Shimon sells it back with Achrayas. That's B'Achrayas of Yaakov, right? So the father's debtor, creditor comes. And comes to Dina Huda Azul Shimon Mfatz Lemine. In that case, it's different because Shimon is now paying off the debts of Reuven's father, not of Reuven who sold him the field originally. That we're talking about, right?
Right.
So that's similar to yesterday's case, a little more at least, because then you're dealing with somebody else's debts or somebody else's interest in the field. Not the person who literally sold you the field.
Right.
So my time, what's the reason? Baal Chov de Yaakov, Baal Chov de Alma Dami. The creditor of Yaakov, the father, is like a creditor of anybody else in the world.
I mean, really what it's talking about is the equity concept of clean hands. You have to come to this with clean hands.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first case, Reuven wasn't coming with clean hands because he was the one who incurred the debt.
Yeah.
In this case, it's Yaakov who incurred the debt.
So in this case, Reuven is, in your case, coming with clean, in your verbiage, coming with clean hands because it's not his debt.
Right.
I mean, what if he knew about it?
It's still not his debt.
Yeah. In American law, Reuven's out of luck.
I mean, Shimon's out of luck. Shimon's the buyer.
I mean, Shimon's out of luck.
Yeah, okay.
Shimon's out of luck.
Right.
Shimon's out of luck.
I mean, both cases, Shimon would be out of luck in American law.
Yeah, that's
and
probably true.
You take a lawyer when you close on a house for the couple of
contract, the contract.
Yeah, that's tough. Okay. I'm Rabbi Barchama. Reuven Shemachar Sadal Shimon Bachrayas. So then, Reuven, so same case as before, but this case, actually not the same. Reuven is now selling to Shimon with Achrayas, meaning he will take responsibility for any liens that are on the property. V'zakaf alaf b'milveh. And then Shimon, who bought it, had not yet paid, but rather used the field. Zakaf alaf b'milveh. Alaf is the field, or... Oh, so he gives to Reuven a contract and says, okay, fine, I'll pay you off the money as a loan, right? Basically, like, yes, the field is mine. It's like a mortgage, no?
In effect, I mean, what it says here is Shimon didn't have the money. Reuven agreed to convert the purchase price into a debt to be paid by Shimon at a later date. The document was written to that effect.
Right. Isn't that a mortgage?
Shimon owes money to Reuven, but is also his potential creditor in case the land should be seized.
Right, meaning the land is on lien also.
I mean, I guess my question here is so who's in that moment, like, who's sort of handling the property? Is it Reuven or... Like,
it seems like
Shimon has this, he has some sort of agreement in the future to pay it?
Yeah. I'm looking at it like a mortgage.
Okay.
Where basically Reuven becomes the bank as opposed to the owner of the field.
Right.
So now, however, when Reuven first sold the field to him, he had sold it b'achrayas, meaning that if anyone comes to take the field, so Reuven's on the hook for it. But then Mace Reuven, then Reuven dies, as you can imagine. So Asa Baal Chov de Reuven, because Tarvalam is Shimon. So now what's Shimon going to do? Because Reuven is the one that sold it to him b'achrayas, and therefore Reuven's really on the hook to pay off any debts, any creditors. But Shimon's on the hook to pay off Reuven. Upaisei b'zuzei. And Shimon comes along and pays him off, which technically Reuven was supposed to do.
Basically, this creditor steps in Reuven's shoes, and Shimon says, here's the,
right,
X amount of dollars. that I would have paid to Reuven, I'm not just going to pay directly to you.
Right. So dinahu de amrilei b'nei Reuven. The halacha is that the children of Reuven can say to Shimon that you are obligated to give us the money for the field, and you can't claim I paid off so-and-so. Right? Basically, Reuven was supposed to pay off so-and-so, and Shimon was supposed to pay Reuven for the field, or whatever, the outstanding loan. Shimon took it upon himself to say, I'll just assume that this goes towards that. The kids were like, no, no, no. I don't know what the difference in the money is, but so he says, Anan metaltale shavak avun gabach. Our father left money with you. Right? He sold you the field, it was yours, and then you converted it into a loan, in which case the only thing you owed our father was money. And now, when the creditor came, he had nothing to buy because you had the field. Because now all we have is metal, and all we have is metal is yes, mila machov, lo mishtabde.
Well, I think their issue is that this kind of money, the sort of personal property of orphans,
mm-hmm.
can't be collected by the creditors. So in other words, you handed the creditor something that he didn't have a right to.
Well, and it's more valuable to the orphans than just money would be. So you gave him money, but we would prefer to give him or to have the field be the only thing he could collect. Okay. So Amarava, Ipikach Idach, if Shimon was a smart guy,
which he clearly is.
This is the same Shimon. So if he was a smart guy, Megavile Nehale Nehalayu Ara. So then the Shimon should have given the orphans the money back. Sorry, the field back. The Hadar Gavile Minayu. Then he should have bought the field. And then he'd have the land straight up. It wouldn't be the orphans. It wouldn't be on hook to the orphans. An orphan that buys land. No, other way around. Orphan that collects land for the debt of their father, meaning debt owed to the father. So then, Baal Chov Chozer V'Gove Osa Mehen. So then the creditor of the father can go and collect that field from them, and they can't claim, no, this is our field, you're not allowed to collect from it. Because the reason they got that field was because of a creditor or a debtor that had to pay them off.
In other words, it's kind of a weird thing. He'd be handing back the property,
mm-hmm.
saying, here you go, well, you know, now we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd turn around after and just say, oh, by the way,
can I buy that property?
Not can I buy, there was a guarantee that there wasn't an encumbrance on this property.
Oh, okay.
Turned out there was,
mm-hmm.
so now I want the property.
Yeah, I need that field. All right, interesting. And the question really is, when you go through that process, it's no longer considered just their field. It's considered an inheritance of a field through the father, in which case that could be collected for any debts. Okay. Amar Rabba. Reuven Shmachas Dosav Kol Sedosav L'Shimon. All right. Shimon seems like he's in good states to hear. Reuven sold all of his fields in one contract to Shimon. And in these sets of fields, he had a bunch of different types. V'chazer Shimon u'machar sada achas u'levi. Then Shimon comes along, if you look at the dimensions, Shimon comes along and sells the field to Levi, but only one of them. V'asa ba'al chov, we didn't say achrayas or no achrayas. I feel like I'm lost. V'asa ba'al chov de Reuven. Now the creditor of Reuven is coming along and trying to collect. And the halacha is that when a creditor comes to collect, you have to pay him with the bainanis, the middle level field. But that's exactly the one that he had sold to Levi. So the Gemara says, Ratsa mizeh gove. He can choose from the better field, which he would not have been entitled to before. Or he could go collect the baby. Because he could basically go to Levi and say, hey, that field is supposed to be mine since it belonged to Shimon, who had gotten it from Reuven, who I have to be paid by. Okay. V'lo amran ela dezavna benanis. That's only the case if Levi was the one, if Levi had actually acquired the benanis one, the middle one. That's when he could come to him. Aval zavna idis ziboris, if he had sold to Levi the best one or the least, the worst one, so then masi amrale lahachi tarchi uzvini arad lo chazilach. I made a specific attempt to get a field which would not be entitled to you, because I knew that Reuven had debts, and I knew that if I took the middle field, then I could, you know, lose the field, in which case I put in the extra attention to get the other fields. So now you get out of here. So Gemara says, Ubeinan is Nami. And also when it comes to that middle field too, Lo Amran Ela Delo Shavak. The only time that this halacha is true, where the creditor of Reuven could come and take the field from Levi, that's only in the case that Shimon didn't have another field, Beninus Dichlasa, that Shimon didn't have another field that he had bought from Reuven, which was just like the Beninus, meaning the credit. Oh my gosh. You did tell me that? So the creditor comes along and says, is that what you meant? What time are we starting tomorrow?
No, there was a point where you kept going, and I was like, I don't think you need to do that.
About Shavak Beninus Dichlasav, when Shimon comes along, when Shimon buys from Reuven not just one bin in his field, but two bin in his field, so then the creditor of Reuven can't come chop the field that Levi took. He has to take the other bin in his field, which is still unclaimed or not sold to Levi. Because why? Masi Amarle, Levi could have said to the creditor, Hinachti lecha makom ligvos hemenu. I left you a piece of land that you could collect from. Okay, I feel like this is a pretty obvious halacha. But that's how it works. All right. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Reuven shemachar sado l'shimon b'achrayas. Okay, back to the lien cases. Reuven, who sold, well, I guess the case that we just said must have been a case of achrayas, because then otherwise why would Reuven come to Levi? Or a case with shelo b'achrayas, because otherwise why would Levi have to give up his field, even in theory, to Reuven, or the creditor of Reuven? So Amar by Reuven shemachar sado l'shimon b'achrayas. Now Reuven is now selling the field to Shimon with the intention that he would pay off any liens on the property. Okay. Vasa b'achov de Reuven, and the creditor of Reuven comes along, as is he's wont to do in these cases, the katar v'lemine. And now he comes and wants to chop the field from Shimon. However, Reuven's supposed to take care of that. That was part of the contract. Dina hu da azul Reuven mfatile. The halacha is that Reuven should go and appease, pay him off. V'lo masi amarle. And the creditor does not have the ability to say, lav bal dvarim didia. You have nothing to do with this. Yeah, I do. Right? Because
the creditor comes up. Reuven has some defenses to the claim. There may have been some other agreements. So Reuven has defenses to the claim, and the creditor is saying, I don't care about your defenses.
Right.
I'm dealing just now with Shimon. At least in this case.
Well, that's what he's saying, Lapal Dvarami Didiat.
Right.
He can't say to Reuven, he can't say this. He can't say to Reuven, I'm not dealing with you.
The creditor can't say to Reuven.
Right.
The idea is Reuven has defenses.
Even if Reuven says, yeah, but I worked it out with Shimon. No, it doesn't matter.
No, but Reuven has defenses. According to Rabbi Steinsaltz, has defenses against the creditor. It could be the creditor.
Oh, the creditor. Okay.
The creditor has some reason why there is some other agreement.
Yeah, some kind of other IOU.
Right.
And now he's saying... Now the creditor is trying to bypass Reuven because he wants to avoid that IOU issue.
Yes.
Okay. So Lavavim eats Didiat. So says the Gemara, he can't avoid Reuven. Mishum to Amalei demafakta mine alai hadar. If you take the field away from Shimon for the debt. So Shimon's going to come back to me and say, hey, you owe me because our contract said you're going to take care of this. So yes, it is Baal Dvarim Didi or Baal Dvarim Didach. I am the person you've got to deal with because ultimately I'm going to deal with it. V'gada Amri Afilu Shelo B'Achrayas Nami. Some say that even if it was a land that was sold without Achrayas, and therefore Reuven is not really on the hook to take care of Shimon's field. Right? Shimon's got to incur anything that comes along with it. That's his risk. So we're saying even then, the creditor has to deal with Reuven. The Amar Lei, because Reuven says to the creditor, Lo nichali de tehave lei l'shimon taromes halai. I don't want Shimon to be upset with me. And that alone is enough to justify Reuven getting involved. That's interesting. Meaning, yes, I don't have any financial obligation towards this, but I have a social obligation towards this. And that would justify what he's trying to do. Okay. Let's see if we can go to the Mishnah here. Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sled L'Shimon Shelo B'Achrayas. Reuven sells a field to Shimon without any responsibility to the creditors. Yesu Alav Asikin. And now it's not just that the creditors come, but there's a claim against the field that somehow he got it, you know, inappropriately. I don't know.
Someone else claims us as I'm the true owner.
Right. Is that really my field? What are you doing with my field? So that's not, I assume that's not a Baal Chov case. So until Shimon doesn't make a chazaka on it, so Yachol Achzor Bo. So then Shimon can say, well, I didn't know that this wasn't your field. You can't, you know, that sale's no good. And therefore, Shimon's not on the hook to pay off the creditor. I assume that's what's going to happen. I mean, we haven't said that yet, but. Rishi Buck, however, once he takes hold of the field, so Enu Yachal Achzor Bo, he can't go against it. And he can't claim, hey, I didn't know this wasn't your field, which sounds weird. Why? Mishum to Amarle, Chaita de Kitre, Savart de Kavalis. Just like a person who sells a small sack.
You knowingly agreed to buy a sack of knots.
What's knots? Is that like the bad part of the wood?
It's worthless. An inferior piece of merchandise. Without...
But how do you know that?
Because he took it without a guarantee.
And that is alone enough to basically incriminate Shimon? I feel like the lack of achrayus is basically like, okay, fine, I'll take the risk that maybe your creditor doesn't care about that loan anymore. But I'm not taking the risk that you don't own the field in the first place. That's a very different case.
In a sense, it's
it's similar because you run the risk of not getting the field. I get it. But the buyer has... probably different logic to each one.
If I had to look at it through my own eyes
contract negotiation
and global American law,
okay,
I would say that if there was out and out fraud, you know, there were documents. There were forged documents.
But that's what, it is.
If he's giving him a contract claiming that
there are definitely people out there, I mean, it doesn't happen because people are careful generally, who, I don't really own this piece of land. I've been living here since my father died, but I haven't paid taxes on it in years, and it was sold for taxes.
Right.
So
you're saying that's not fraud, is your point?
Or the estate was never probated.
Right. So there are cases where it's not as malicious.
Or I'm on land. Boundaries lines are all fouled up. Nobody knows where the boundary lines are.
No, I get that. You're saying this was an honest mistake. And if it's an honest mistake, then that's justified. But if it's
it could be a careless mistake. It would be less than.
That's what I'm saying. So what if it is less than? What is the malicious? What if it was a real fraud? The Gemara makes no distinctions.
The Gemara doesn't make distinctions.
Yeah, I don't know. So in the Amos Machzik Ba Mechi Daisha Mitzri.
Somebody somebody recorded an actual fraudulent deed, a fake deed.
Right.
I mean, that would be a different.
Yeah, I mean, we don't actually know. I would say, if I were to give a charitable read, I would say, V'yatsu alav asikin, right? Somehow things came upon it that, you know, people came around from out of the woodworks unknowingly, and they said, hey, that's our field. So then maybe that implies that Reuven didn't know about it beforehand. Maybe. I don't know. Either way, so when is it? Me'emas ma'achzik ba? When is it considered a chazak that Shimon's now on the hook? Mechidai shamitri, at the time when he sort of takes care of the borders. I don't know, he puts up a fence or something?
Oh, it says here, he walks along the borders.
Oh, just to walk around the borders, okay.
No, but then in the notes here, it says if Shimon prepares these narrow strips of land built higher than the field, like in between the borders.
Okay, so he does demarcate it somehow. Ikata Amri, I feel about Achrayas Nami. Even if there was Achrayas on the field, he could also say, because of people who are claiming that they're the owner of the field, he could also say that Shimon is not able to get out of it. The Amar Leh, because Reuven could say to Shimon, Achli Tirfach, the Ashalim Lach. What does that mean? Show me the star, and I'll pay off whatever the Basin contract said the thing was worth. Something like that. But he doesn't necessarily have any right to avoid the field negotiations. He does have to give up.
I think this is probably logical. I mean, this is probably the way it would work in America too. If you didn't close the transaction, if the transaction had never closed,
So Shimon never took hold of the field. So he
can just withdraw from the whole thing.
Right. Even in that case. And there was the case where Reuven was taking care of any liens. So then even in that case, Reuven can come to Shimon and say, yeah, sorry, you got to give up the field. Even though Reuven said he was going to take care of it. Reuven can say to Shimon, you got to take care of it and I'll pay you off. Something like that. All right, interesting. So I guess the word Achrayas is not as loaded as a word as I thought, because here, Shimon's still on the hook. We had a case like that before also. All right.
Shimon's still on the hook.
I'm saying Shimon has to give up the field. He'll get paid for it, but he doesn't get his field anymore.
We're at the very end.
We're at the Mishnah.
The very last end of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Said, show me the terpa.
Ba'ashalim lach.
And I'll refund the money, which, I mean, is probably.
Right. Well, I guess in that case, Shimon gets paid. Yeah, Shimon gets paid. Because of the false pretenses, yeah. But he doesn't get to keep the field. All right. Shkaya, this is Halach and the Ramah. You should start davening a little early the day after Yom Kippur. So there we go.